Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Welcome in on a Friday afternoon, Greater Lansing. It is Jack Kerwin filling in for Al Martin. Once again, Al will be back with you guys next Tuesday. But until then, the inmates are still running the asylum. You got Jack Kerwin here behind the mic. I have Connor Mathis in studio and Alec Rio behind the glass as well. Connor, happy Friday, man. How are you?
Good. Really enjoying this beautiful weather we're having. It's not muggy. It's not hot. It's wonderful outside.
And we don't have much of it left, eh?
A couple more days, right? Take it while it's here, I suppose.
Absolutely. And you know what? Once it leaves, football's back. But I mean, football's also back this weekend too. And you know what? I cannot wait, Connor. It's going to be spectacular. So, really action-packed show for you today. Really football, wall-to-wall football coverage once again. In the lead-up to the Lions and Bills titillating, scintillating preseason football game that will take place tonight. And more importantly, Miami versus Florida and Arizona versus Hawaii tomorrow night. College football is finally back, baby. So, you know, we'll break that down for you. And, you know, we're kind of going to extend the conversation from yesterday a little bit when we talked ad nauseum about the University of Texas and the University of Michigan this season, what we expect from both of those teams. We're going to take a little bit of a wider look at the AP Top 25, and we're going to give some of our thoughts on it. We're going to tell you who we think's ranked a little bit too highly, who we think is ranked a little bit too low, who could surprise some people, maybe a team that's not ranked that we think could be ranked inside maybe the top 20, top 15 this year. You know, we'll do all of that for you. We'll give you, you know, some of the names in the Big Ten that are ranked in the top 25 and what we expect out of them. So, you know, we'll extend the conversation in college football to really the entire nation, and we'll invite you to be a part of this discussion as well. Please give us a call at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Or shoot us a tweet at WKAR News. But you know what's next for now. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start off with some NFL action for you. Citing sources, Ed Werder of ESPN tweeted, the most recent offer in negotiations between holdout Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys came from the team. Elliott has been offered a contract, making him one of the NFL's top two highest paid running backs. That would be up there with Todd Gurley. As Werder notes, that would likely mean the offer is more than what Le'Veon Bell agreed to with the New York Jets this year. But again, as I just mentioned, less than what Todd Gurley agreed to from the Los Angeles Rams this year. But Ed Werder did not offer any numbers, any specific numbers in terms of what Elliott would be making if he were to accept that contract. Preseason injuries are inevitably a problem for NFL teams, but for the Carolina Panthers, they took a big blow losing quarterback Cam Newton as he suffered a left ankle after a first quarter sack in last night's 10-3 preseason loss at New England. "We're hoping it's not too bad," Panthers GM Marty Herney told the team radio network regarding Newton. "We'll find out more tomorrow, but I hope it's not too bad." The Baltimore Ravens swiftly defeated the Philadelphia Eagles 26-15 with Trace McSorley, former Penn State standout, shining last night. Connor, I got one question for you here as it pertains to Cam Newton. Is this Cam Newton's last season starting for the Carolina Panthers?
I don't think so. You know, I think when his contract's up, his free agency, I think then the Panthers are going to have to take a real look in the mirror and say, oh, we got Will Greer. How's he developing versus Cam Newton? I mean, Cam Newton's a good quarterback. He's going to win you games.
Sure.
I think now the concern is he's an aging quarterback. So I mean, it's always once you get to that certain age of a quarterback, you weigh, oh well, do we want to stick with him? You know, despite these injuries, or do we want to move on to the next best thing? So. I will say he's probably still going to be there as long as his contract is. I don't see the Panthers making a rash decision like just throwing him out there unless, a major, major horrible injury happens. But from what I read this morning, it looks like it's a mild sprain, so nothing too serious.
Sure, but I mean, at this point, you could probably say the shoulder injuries are chronic. And that's just kind of where I was going with
that's
it.
True.
Do you think his shoulder is going to hold up?
I think it probably will. I mean, again, if something drastically changes, then you could see them exploring other options. But I think they're going to stick with him until that contract's up.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to follow Cam Newton this season. See what kind of a year he has, if he's able to stay healthy, and see what they do with Will Greer. Alrighty. Following a trip to Houston for some joint practices in the second preseason game, the Detroit Lions are back home to take on the Buffalo Bills in Friday night's dress rehearsal game at Ford Field. The biggest question for the Lions entering the third week of the preseason is whether or not quarterback Matthew Stafford will play. Stafford has yet to appear in a preseason game for the first time of his career through 2 weeks of the preseason. On the other side of things, second-year quarterback Josh Allen has logged 37 snaps for the 2-0 Buffalo Bills. Detroit enters 0-2 after losing to New England 31-3 in the opener, and then 30-23 to the Texans. Alrighty, shifting gears to the Detroit Tigers, the pitiful, shameful, pathetic Detroit Tigers, the last place Detroit Tigers, at least in the AL Central. They will start their series against AL Central rival the Minnesota Twins tonight at 8:10 p.m. from Target Field in Minneapolis. You can catch that game on Fox Sports Detroit. The Tigers are 38-87 on the season, last in the AL Central. Already shifting back to college football, with the 2019 college football season less than a week and a half from kicking off, the Big Ten Network announced its on-air talent for its broadcast teams and in-studio for the upcoming year. This meant a number of new additions to the team, including former Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer and soon-to-be USC head coach Urban Meyer. Or Notre Dame. We'll see how it goes.
But USC.
You think USC?
He's going to go to Pac-12. Make the Pac-12 relevant again.
Will he make the entire Pac-12 relevant, he just have USC stomp on everybody?
If USC stomps on everyone, then people will actually pay attention to the Pac-12 as opposed to right now, where people, at least I and some other people, I think a lot of fans, do not want to tune in at 10 p.m. to watch mediocre football.
Yeah, that's the same thing, though. I mean, I agree that USC being back would help ratings in the Pac-12, but the big thing for me is, I mean, those 10 o'clock kicks, it is tough to keep people engaged.
I'm just saying, when Chip Kelly's Oregon and Marcus Mariota's Oregon was running things in the Pac-12, that was must-see football. There wasn't many problems with getting views then, but, they didn't have much competition out there when they were running.
No, David Shaw was there at Stanford, and Chris Peterson was there at Washington. Was Chris Peterson there at that point? I think he was.
I'm not sure
He was probably still building the program.
Stanford was there for a little bit, but I mean, for the most part, that Oregon team just ran through the Pac-12.
Yep. Think of how exciting Chip Kelly and Urban Meyer in the Pac-12 could be. Chip Kelly at UCLA, man.
If Chip Kelly can regain his broken spirit from the NFL.
I think Chip Kelly is going to do numbers at UCLA. I really do think he's going to turn that program around. Not really all that encouraging in year one for him, but I do think Chip Kelly's going to return UCLA to relevance. Alrighty. So speaking of Urban Meyer, he will be is he in studio or is he on the broadcast for games on Big Ten Network?
My understanding from what I saw was that he's gonna be doing a show, but he's also gonna be kind of like that in studio analyst type deal.
Sure.
Before and probably during the game, but you know, I mean, he's you know, talented coach, so they'll probably shift him around a bit. Yeah. He does have some experience in calling games, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was terrible.
He was terrible.
He was the third man on a lot of ESPN broadcasts. I didn't think he was.
He's still a big name. So I mean, it's not like they won't shy away from throwing him on.
He's got a wealth of knowledge too.
Exactly.
So maybe he'll be improved this time around. So yeah, former Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer and former Buckeye linebacker Joshua Perry, who was on the team. I believe he was on the national championship team in 2014. Because he was on the team in 2015 when MSU beat them on senior day. In the shoes. So, yeah, Joshua Perry.
Good times.
Yeah, right? Is that the last time the Spartans beat the Buckeyes? It would have been.
Yep.
Yeah, so maybe we'll get a win this year, my senior year. All righty. Shifting gears to Michigan State. Tulsa running back Corey Taylor was not shy Thursday when asked about the goals for the Golden Hurricane ahead of their August 30th matchup against Michigan State. With the offensive line that we have, those are great guys. So 100 yards apiece for Taylor and fellow junior tailback Shamari Brooks, at least, and 5 yards per carry is pretty reasonable, he said. Reminder that last season, Michigan State's front seven helped produce the top run defense in the country, holding opponents to under 80 yards per game on the ground, a per carry average of just over 2.5 yards. Connor, do you think Tulsa runs for 200 yards in this game?
Absolutely not. If they do, I would go ballistic. I'm going to be sick. I will physically be ill if that defense allows.
Go ahead, Alex.
Isn't this just the Tulsa running back? He's saying that himself, he's going to get 200 yards against the defense. Is he saying himself or just the whole team?
No, 200 yards collectively, 100 yards for him and 100 yards for the other guy, I guess, that he kind of runs tandem with, Shamari Brooks.
Okay.
So, but 200 yards rushing against Michigan State's vaunted defense for a non-Power 5 school, that would be a hell of a day on the ground. There's no way around that. All right, shifting to the other school in the state of Michigan. Michigan Wolverines football coach Jim Harbaugh took aim at Southeastern Conference schools as he discussed college recruiting in an upcoming book. Harbaugh, who is about to begin his fifth season at Michigan, spoke about the difficulties of recruiting in a book written by author John Eubank entitled Overtime, Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines at the Crossroads of College Football. According to Forbes, which reviewed a copy of the book, Harbaugh takes multiple shots at SEC schools and proclaims it's hard to beat the cheaters. Michigan's director of recruiting, Matt Dudek, explains in Bacon's book that the school is competing in recruiting both on the field and in the classroom, according to Forbes. Name another school that competes with the Blue Bloods athletically. We're talking Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, while competing with the Blue Bloods academically. Stanford, Northwestern, Princeton. Most of the players we recruit are good enough to play for Alabama or Clemson and smart enough to play for Ivy League schools. If you don't win in the classroom on Monday, you won't be here for many Saturdays. While Michigan may not have won a national championship since 1997, the football program is usually ranked among the highest in the nation in recruiting. These comments make me absolutely sick, to be completely honest with you. Name another school that competes with the Blue Bloods athletically. What Blue Bloods has Michigan competed with since Jim Harbaugh has gotten to Michigan? This is absurd.
They've gone into a couple of backyard brawls with Florida.
Florida is not a blue blood. Florida is a has-been, just like Michigan. While competing with the Blue Bloods academically, Stanford, Northwestern, and Princeton, you actually need to be smart to play football at those schools.
Yep.
That's not the case at Michigan. The same kid that plays at Michigan could play at Oklahoma State, could play at Michigan State, could play at Utah State. This is absurd. Jim Harbaugh is saying that Michigan players are good enough, are smart enough to compete and play at Ivy League colleges. This is absurd, Connor.
Talent-wise, they'd be able to play at Ivy
League.
Yes,
talent-wise, but not academically. Absolutely not. Most of the players we recruit are good enough to play for Alabama or Clemson. Not on the field, they're not. This is absurd. I mean, their wide receiving core could play for Alabama, but I mean,
remember, this is the same dude who
fired up. Let's see that on Friday.
This is the same dude who didn't let his players eat chicken because he believed they were a nervous bird.
Oh, my goodness.
Mind you.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I'll have more thoughts on this later, but you got the cliff notes from me already. Bleacher Report predicts Ohio State to win the Big Ten. This was a Friday. Like you just pointed out, I'm fired up on a Friday. I woke up in a good mood today. The weather was spectacular outside. You know, I got in here a little bit before the show. My boys had prepped it for me. I was so happy, and then I see this knowledge bomb dropped by Jim Harbaugh. Oh, my goodness. All right, well, I guess I know what we're leading the show with today, Connor. Bleacher Report predicts that OSU, not Michigan, will win the Big Ten. Bleacher Report also lists Penn State and Michigan as contenders in the conference, while Michigan State is listed as a challenger. They're predicting the Spartans to finish fourth in the East. I think that's a pretty standard prediction. You know, I think there are many orders that the top four teams in the Big Ten West could finish, and
you know, below Penn State though in the East. That's I don't know about that.
I mean, I think they're going to be a better team than Penn State this season, just because I don't believe in James Franklin, and D'Antonio's beaten him the last 2 years, even though James Franklin's had the better roster, and now they're breaking in a new quarterback at Penn State. But I don't think it's crazy for national writers at Bleacher Report to predict that Penn State will be better than Michigan State. It's kind of par for the course, right? Penn State's the bigger brand.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Obviously, Penn State comes to Spartan Stadium this year. We'll see how that game goes. We'll see how the quarterback competition shakes out at Penn State as well. So, it'll be interesting to see how that one shakes out. But Michigan State listed as a challenger, while Michigan is a contender in the Big Ten, according to Bleacher Report. All right, that wraps up your current Sports Quick Hit headliners. If you got thoughts on any of those, feel free to give us a call at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Facebook.com, if we have the live stream up and running. Is it up today, Connor, or no? No live stream. All right, well, this is radio, so I guess you got to tune in on your radio. Seem par for the course, I guess. All right, let's keep it pushing, guys. Segment one coming up next. Alrighty, welcome in on a Friday afternoon once again. It is Jack Kerwin in for Al Martin. I got Connor Mathis in studio with me and Alec Rio behind the glass as well to get you through this hour of Sports Talk Radio. And I guess I know what we're starting with. Jim Harbaugh's at it again, voicing his frustration with the way SEC schools handle recruiting, I guess, in his upcoming book that he co-wrote with John Ubakin. Overtime, Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines at the crossroads of college football, coming soon to a Barnes & Noble near you. But anyway, we laid it out for you in the Quick Hit headliners, and I guess you got the Cliff Notes version of my reaction to these comments, but let me give you my full thoughts here. It's hard to beat the cheaters. Name another school that competes with the Blue Bloods athletically. We're talking Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, while competing with the Blue Bloods academically. Yeah, you know what those schools have done, Jimmy? They've won their conference in the last 15 years. Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson have each won the national championship since the college football playoff was unveiled in 2014. Michigan has not yet made it to Indianapolis, where the Big Ten championship game is hosted. They have not been competitive, for the most part, against the best competition since Harbaugh's gotten there. What's their record against AP top 10 teams since Harbaugh's been there? Isn't it 1-9? Am I mistaken? I believe it's 1-9. Yeah, you should humble yourself, Jim Harbaugh. Thank you, Ray. I hope Ray's listening right now. He might like what I have to say these next few minutes, right, Connor?
Yeah, I think Ray would be real engaged this segment.
We should, yeah. I mean, Ray, if you're listening out there, please call in. We'd love to get your thoughts on this as we troll Michigan and Jim Harbaugh for comparing his team to SEC schools athletically while comparing them to Ivy League schools academically. I just want to see them win at this point. All the talking, all of the off-the-field crap, all of the antics from Jim Harbaugh. It's year five. If he doesn't win the conference this year, is he ever going to win it?
I mean,
it's a rhetorical question.
You know,
at some point you think things will break Michigan's way where they will win the conference if Jim Harbaugh stays there long enough. You know, you have to think that, right? But year five for Jim Harbaugh, he has not beaten Ohio State. He has not beaten Notre Dame. He has not beaten Michigan State consistently. He is 2-2 against them. Wait, hang on. Let me see this counter. What is this graphic? Please read this
to
me.
Okay, so Michigan, this is including and excluding the Harbaugh era. Since 2012 is 1-14 against top 10 opponents.
Okay, but give me since 2015. Can you filter that out a little bit?
Filtering it out, that's minus 1, 2, 3, 4. That's minus 5 losses. So they are.
So I was correct. He's 1-9 against AP top 10 teams since getting to Michigan.
And they're not pretty scores either. The closest ones come against Florida State in 2016, where they lost.
They lost by one.
They lost by one. They lost to number 2 Ohio State by 3. And they, they're not pretty scores for the most part. A lot of them are beatdowns.
That was the 2016 team. Both of those losses, where it actually felt like Michigan was a threat to win the Big Ten. Lost in double overtime to Ohio State. That was the one team that I think kind of fit the identity that you want to have if you're a Jim Harbaugh coach team, because that was a senior-laden team. They were physical. They were grizzled. And they'd experienced so much losing before Harbaugh got there that they were hungry to do whatever it took to win. That, you know, Michigan hasn't really had that identity, I don't think, since 2016. And I think if you're Jim Harbaugh, I think that's kind of what you want to instill. And maybe that's why they haven't had as much success since that season. In my estimation, Harbaugh's team in year two, 2016, I know they finished 10-3, but they lost their 3 games by a combined 5 points. That was easily the best team Jim Harbaugh's fielded at Michigan in 4 years.
I would think so. And I mean, that was when everything broke their way. I mean, Michigan State had a down year that year. Penn State was a little down that year. I mean,
3-9 is a down year.
Yeah, a little bit of a down year, a little rough patch.
Yeah.
But I mean, he had everything break his way. Even Ohio State that year looked mortal. An Urban Meyer Ohio State team looked mortal.
Because JT Barrett seemed to forget how to complete a pass. You remember how good JT Barrett was his first 2 years at Ohio State?
Yep.
He was fantastic. And then his last 2 years, it's one of those things where the amount of hits he took must have caught up to his ability to play quarterback. Because his last 2 years at Ohio State, JT Barrett was absolutely not the same guy he was to start his career. So you're right. Everything broke Michigan's way that year. And I guess the cliche is it's a game of inches, and Michigan wasn't able to find the inches that season. And to me, they haven't looked as potent since that year. But for Jim Harbaugh to come out and call the SEC cheaters, and to compare his team to Clemson and Alabama. These are his words, right?
Yeah.
No, this is Michigan Director of Recruiting Matt Dudek. Forgive me. But still, doesn't this just go to show you how out of touch the University of Michigan is with, like, the rest of the country? You have Michigan Director of Recruiting Matt Dudek saying that Michigan competes with the Blue Bloods athletically. When does Jim Harbaugh have a signature win in 4 years at Michigan?
Not that I can think of.
Can you name one?
Not off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
I mean, I know they ran through Penn State last season, but Trace McSorley wasn't healthy. He was playing on one leg.
I mean, for Michigan, it just seems like every time they come on the cusp of like, this is the signature win that Harbaugh needs to really just launch this program into the stratosphere. It just seems like they fall short every single time. So, you know, I mean, in the defense of that of the Michigan, you know, the staffer, the guy there. I mean, you have to say that about your program. I mean, you got
to
say
that. You do not have to compare yourself to Alabama and Clemson if you're Michigan.
We have the athletes that can compete with the high level stuff.
You cannot name Alabama and Clemson and say you have athletes that can play there.
I disagree with that. I think as you know, when you're repping that kind of a brand power, I think you have to say, if nothing else, just to fire up your fans.
You can say you're trying to build a program that wants to compete with those teams, but to say that they're already competing with those teams when Jim Harbaugh has been there for 4 years and he hasn't faced Alabama yet and he hasn't faced Clemson yet. You want to know why? Because he hasn't won his conference and made the college football playoff yet. That's absurd to me. Notre Dame last season was decisively better than Michigan, and they proved that Saturday night in South Bend when the two teams faced off. You remember how Notre Dame did against Clemson in the playoff last year? It was 31-3. That was a team that was much better than Michigan.
Oh, it was.
Much better than Michigan, could not compete with Clemson. For Michigan staffers under Jim Harbaugh to be saying that Michigan is competing athletically with these blue bloods is absurd. Against Ohio State four times, Jim Harbaugh has faced Urban Meyer in Ohio State four times. Only one of those games has been decided by less than double digits. Only one of those games.
I know. I'm not necessarily agreeing with what the staffer said. I'm just saying from a program standpoint, it makes sense that he would say that, just given kind of the characteristics of the program there, and given that he wants A, to fire up a fan base, and B, he wants to say, look at us, look at us. So I don't agree with that. I completely agree with you in that Michigan is not on par with Clemson. They're not on par with Alabama. They're not on par with Georgia. They're not there. Those teams have competed for their conference. I mean, everyone wants to focus on Michigan needs to get the playoff. Michigan needs to get to Indy first, don't they?
Yes.
I mean, they haven't even done that. Wasn't that the expectation of Jim Harbaugh coming in? And
I'll tell you what, if you would have told me when Harbaugh got here that we'd be going into year five and he still hasn't even made the conference championship game, I would be stunned.
I would be a little shocked, but I mean, if you would have told me that, you know, Harbaugh would have a couple of years where his rivals seemed weaker and his rivals were down, and even the tougher teams on his side of the bracket were down, rebuilding or non-existent, I would have been absolutely floored by it. I mean, it doesn't make sense, and I mean, you know, is it an it's an upgrade over what Michigan had before.
There's no
question.
For
sure it's an upgrade. But you can't be you can't have a fan base that constantly preaches they demand excellence, they demand national championships. You can't have a program that preaches the same thing and finish 10-3, 10-3.
Going back to your point about the what Michigan was like before Jim Harbaugh got there, Jack Ebling has said this multiple times, and that is, if you're the head coach of Michigan and you're not a complete moron, you can win 9 games there in a given season just because you're going to bring in better players than most of the teams you face. And the way it works in college football is, you know, your season realistically is 2 or 3 or 4 games, depending on how the season goes. So, you know, from that standpoint, what Jim Harbaugh has done in 4 years is he's returned to what the minimum of Michigan could be. They're beating all the teams they should beat, but they're not winning really any of their big games.
They're not elevating back to elite form, which is what everyone...
They haven't been in my lifetime.
No.
They haven't won a national championship since 1997.
That's fair. That's reasonable. You know, the other thing, too, a point I want to make, I am not an SEC fan. You know I'm not an SEC fan, but you're calling them cheaters with what evidence? What do you have that says they're cheating? I mean, when you throw around the word cheating in college football, it usually means you've bought players.
Sure.
You flat out bought a team and you did well and you're winning. Have we seen that from, let's think about the top of the SEC, Georgia, Alabama. Have we had any?
They've stayed out of the spotlight in terms of scandals.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
So they are, to our knowledge right now, doing it by the book. And they're just getting good athletes, and they're getting coached up. So to call the SEC a bunch of cheaters and saying that's the reason you're not competing with them is ridiculous in my mind.
And actually, to be completely honest with you, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Alabama's completely clean. Like, does Nick Saban have to cheat at this point?
No.
I don't know if he does.
His college football reputation is just so up there that he's going to get the athletes, and Alabama is such a prominent brand that they're going to come anyway, so all he has to do is coach them. Georgia, kind of the same thing. I mean, Georgia's that
Yeah, that program's first program. Taking off. So, I mean, if Georgia were cheating, that would surprise me less than Alabama. But I agree with you. There's no evidence that either.
Calling the SEC cheaters when if Michigan were to play Georgia or Alabama, I don't even care if it was in Ann Arbor.
Oh, it gets smoked.
In Ann Arbor, and Alabama was on their backup QB.
Smoked.
They're getting beaten by at least 20.
At one point in time, Alabama's backup QB was Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, there you go. And their backup QB this year is his brother, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he's there already?
I believe so.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
You know, to call them cheaters just seems foolish and irresponsible, almost.
Were South Carolina cheaters when they beat them in whatever terrible bowl Michigan was in last
nope.
season? I mean, Jim Harbaugh lost to Will Muschamp. That happened.
Oh, no.
Is that because the SEC is cheating?
Hang on a minute. Let's not forget that that same game, they had a grad assistant calling the offense.
That's right.
Jim Harbaugh was beaten by a graduate assistant
calling
the offense. Come on. They're cheating. So Jim Harbaugh's defense being outsmarted by a graduate assistant is cheating. Come on now.
Here's the other thing too. Name another school that competes with the Blue Bloods athletically. Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson. What about Notre Dame?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're being real, Notre Dame can't compete with Clemson. We saw that last season. Yeah. But they're a hell of a lot closer than Michigan is.
I would say so.
Yeah. I mean, what about Stanford? Stanford's at least at where Michigan is, right?
I think so. They tend to keep it more close with when they lose to those bigger program those better programs. It tends to be a little bit closer, like a bad break or something. Whereas Michigan just seems to get stomped most of the time.
I mean, isn't it fair to say at this point that Brian Shaw has been a bigger deal for Stanford than Jim Harbaugh ever was?
The only thing that would hold me back from that is that Jim Harbaugh had Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck was correct.
Why is that a tribute to Harbaugh?
Because that was the making of his team. I mean, Brian Shaw has not had that one signature player that has made it his team.
Do you know how hard it is to get a player like that to go to Stanford?
No, it's not easy. No, by no means is it easy. But I'm saying that Harbaugh's days at Stanford will be remembered
because
he has Andrew Luck there, sure. and because that took the program somewhere else.
Sure.
So that's my two cents worth on it.
So yeah, I mean that's fair enough, I guess. I just meant in terms of, you know, what their record is year in and year out. They're right around 10 wins every single season, what Brian Shaw's done there. And, you know, Stanford plays with a lot of the same restrictions that Notre Dame plays with. You actually have to be kind of smart to play football at Stanford. You know, you can't be bringing in JUCO players with sketchy pass to play at Stanford. It won't work. So, to me, it's so impressive what Brian Shaw has done since he's been there. And, I mean, you talk about Andrew Luck, and he's the quarterback, I guess, so it makes it a little bit more important. But Brian Shaw had Christian McCaffrey.
This is true.
That guy was pretty good.
That's true, yeah. So. And Bryce Love. I mean, he has the players, but I think it's just a matter of, you know, just kind of the visual identifying, like, immediately, like, oh, yeah, Harbaugh's tenure is Andrew Luck, and look what Andrew Luck's doing now. And that's why I would put Harbaugh still just a hair above. Now, Shaw still has, obviously, can in the Pac-12's pretty much wide open, I think. I think he has a good chance of doing well there. But
it was pretty wide open when Harbaugh was there,
too.
I mean, Harbaugh, what was the overlap with Harbaugh and Pete Carroll at USC? Probably 2 years.
A couple years.
Harbaugh ran up the score on him. I think that was that Harbaugh's first year? The What's Your Deal, Man? You remember that? When at the handshake line because Harbaugh ran up the score on Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
I think they probably played one more time after that and Carroll left. So yeah. Harbaugh had it pretty wide open, too, in the Pac-12, I would say. So, you got any thoughts on anything we just espoused as it pertains to Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan? Living in delusion for a change, this is rather on brand for that program, I would say. Please give us a call at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. What we're going to do right now is we're going to hit our first break. And when we come back, we're going to give you some of our thoughts on the AP Top 25 at whole. And Connor's got some hot takes for you as well that we'll get to. So we'll address all of that in this next segment. You're listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Jack Kerwin in for Al Martin. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Real quick, before we get to our AP Top 25 thoughts and some of the hot takes Connor has for you in the world of college football, Connor wanted me to bring this up. The comments made by Tulsa running back Corey Taylor saying that they should be able to go for 200 yards against Michigan State's defense. Connor's got some thoughts on this. Connor, What are your thoughts on Corey Taylor espousing he can go for 200 yards against the vaunted Michigan State defense?
Well, first off, I thought it was foolish. But then, you know, like, okay, let me see if we can give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he specializes in 100-yard rushing games. But then I looked at how many times him and the other member of that tandem, Shamari Brooks, and when they ran for, you know, over 100 yards. I looked at some of the teams they did it against. They did it against UConn, Memphis, Houston, USF, Arkansas State, and the FCS school, Central Arkansas.
Memphis is a good team. They got Penny Hardaway coming in. He's bringing in all those AAU kids. Oh, wait, that's basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's not football. Okay, so it's not as impressive when he goes for 200 yards against
now,
the football
now,
team.
Now, Jack, okay. What do you think the highest-ranked rushing defense of that lovely group I just listed
okay, for? Okay, name the schools for me again.
We got Houston, UConn, Memphis, South Florida, Arkansas State, and we're gonna exclude the FCS school just because that wouldn't be a
so
fair.
Tom Herman is not at Houston anymore, and they've kind of gone to hell since he's left. So no one in the top 50.
None of them are in the top 50.
Yeah. Anyone in the top 70?
No one in the top 70.
Anyone in the top 100?
Two in the top
100. I was going to say, right?
Two in the top 100.
Okay. So I'll say 83rd is the best defense he went against.
He went against Memphis's 76th against the run last year. Then it's Arkansas State 91st against the run. Then we go to Houston, which is 115th against the run last year.
Did Houston make a bowl last year?
I believe they did. If I'm not mistaken,
Who the hell's even their coach anymore?
I don't know, but I remember they got into a really big spat with Ed Oliver last year over, like, a hoodie.
Oh, that's right, because Ed Oliver sat out the bowl game. That's right, I forgot they still had a first-round talent on Houston last year.
Yeah, and it was Ed Oliver was basically that team. But anyway, going back to this.
Wait, Dana Holgerson's the coach at Houston?
Now he is, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, I take back every bad thing I've said about Houston.
He came in this year. He literally moved this offseason.
Okay, so Houston will be back. In short order, Dana Holgerson's a psychopath.
Yeah, yes, he is.
And he'll do well in Texas. From a recruiting standpoint, I think Dana Holgerson will do well at Texas. Why did he leave West Virginia?
Because the Houston job was...
More enticing to play at Houston than it is... I mean, I understand geographically.
Honestly, it's probably the money. You got probably a decent pay raise.
I'm just thinking because, I mean, what are you, the third banana of Texas schools if you play at Houston? Like, I mean, you have Texas, you have A&M. Those are both more desirable to play at than Houston, right?
Baylor's hit or
no,
miss.
But Baylor's in hell.
Yeah, they
because
are.
Of Art Briles.
Yep.
So I mean that's a dead man walking.
But Baylor's hit or miss any given year, just you know, based on where they are too.
Sure,
they'll get. What I'm saying is they'll get recruits based on where they are.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to Tulsa here. They've only got the one game where both Brooks and Taylor went over 100 yards was against UConn, 129th ranked rushing defense. So I do not, barring a colossal failure by
129th, I believe that would be dead last. I believe 129. Yeah, okay.
It would. Cool. It would. 129th. So for them to say they're going to get 200 rushing, both of them are going to get 100 rushing yards apiece. Getting 200 rushing yards in Michigan State is just absolutely foolish in my mind. And I see nothing in their stats to tell me otherwise, barring a monumental collapse by Michigan State's defense or the Tulsa offensive line being like the Cowboys offensive line in the 90s.
No, I agree with you. And you know what? It probably is foolish to open your mouth, you know, a week before the game. I agree. To kind of call out your opponent and say that you're going to achieve all these things that, you know, if we're being honest.
On the road, too.
How many teams rushed for 200 yards against Michigan State's defense last season? And it's basically the same unit. You know, they lost Andrew Dowell, they lost Kari Willis, and they lost Justin Lane. But Michigan State's front seven's not really a whole lot different than it was last year, and it was one of the best defenses in all of college football. So I agree with you that that's probably a pretty foolish move for Corey Taylor, God bless him, to be opening his mouth about what Tulsa's going to do when they travel to Spartan Stadium a week from today. So I agree. You know what? You're right. He probably shouldn't be espousing these things, and we'll see what happens. And, hey, maybe he's right. Maybe he makes us all look foolish, and maybe Tulsa
if he does,
pounds Michigan
I'll,
State into
if,
the dirt.
If he does, I will be physically sick.
What is Tulsa's team name? They're not the Green Wave. That's Tulane.
Golden Hurricanes.
Golden Hurricanes. I kind of like that. Tulsa's in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They get hurricanes in Oklahoma?
I guess they get the after effects. Yeah. They're pretty close to the coast.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So they'll get the after effects.
All right. Well, we're learning new things every day on Current Sports. All right, Connor, let's shift gears here first. What do you want to do first? Do you want to take a look at the AP Top 25, or do you want to get these hot takes off your chest?
So let's hit the AP Top 25 first.
Okay. Absolutely. So we have a total of, I believe, 8 Big Ten teams ranked in the top 25. You got any problem with any of those? Do you think Nebraska should be ranked after going 4-8 last season?
No.
I mean, agree.
I think Nebraska, that they're on like my list of teams that ranked too high. What about Nebraska last year inspires you to say, you know what, this year I think they'll turn around? I'm of the mindset, and I don't like preseason rankings to begin with. I would much rather they wait 2, maybe even 3 weeks to put out rankings.
Because there's no point. It gets people talking.
The other thing, too, is because then we go towards the end of the year and we get to the college football playoff debate, and we get some idiotic take of, well, let me tell you about why Iowa should be in the playoff, because in week 2, they played the preseason 25. Oh, what's the preseason 25 ranking now? Oh, they're at the bottom of their division, but that doesn't matter because when they played them, they were number 25. So I think preseason rankings are stupid. In my perfect world, there would not be any football rankings in college football until week 3. But I digress. I'm of the mindset that if you finish last year not too great, or in Nebraska's case, if you finish last year less than 500, you should not be in the rankings. And through this season, you can earn your way in.
Sure.
And, you know, kind of going off the same point, I think Michigan State was ranked too high.
I wouldn't have had Michigan State ranked. Al and I talked about this last week.
If I were going to rank Michigan State, I would have them 22 or below.
Yeah,
they finished 7-6, which is above 500. Okay, cool. But
great.
You know, their defense was good. Okay,
yeah,
cool. But you know, I think they need to be ranked lower. And like I said, they need to earn their spot because of how last year went.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Alec, would you have had Michigan State ranked this year or no? Do you think 18's about right for them? You think it's a little too high? Where are you at with all this?
Yeah. I don't necessarily think they should be ranked, mainly because, like, even though D'Antonio says he feels different about this group than years in the past, you know, we're going to be coming up with conclusions 4 or 5 months from now based off of complete hindsight bias, and I feel like it could go either way. It's either going to be complete mediocrity and everyone's going to be talking about it 4 or 5 months from now, like I said, or it's going to be way different than any other group before. But to be honest, I don't think that they're going to finish in the top 25. That's just my thoughts. I don't know. You guys can go ahead and agree with me. But
okay. So there you go. Alec does not project the Spartans to be ranked at the end of this season. That is a bold take.
All right, Alec getting started with the hot takes.
There you go. UCF ranked one spot above Michigan State. Should UCF be ranked considering they're going to be without Mackenzie Milton the entire season?
I think they should be. I think they're still, I think given
you're
their
still
conference.
Still riding the UCF
I
train,
am all
I see.
Aboard the UCF national 2017 national championship train.
It's unbearable.
But no, I think
shout out to Coach O for ending their hopes and dreams last year.
I think they'll be all right. I mean, looking at their conference, they have Wimbush going in, and I know Wimbush is not a wow.
Wait, Brandon Wimbush is at UCF?
Yep. Yeah.
That's kind of funny, to be honest with you. He's a big name, but
I think they'll be okay. I'm okay with where they're ranked. They're in the teens, so that's fine by me. I mean, they got blown out by Auburn last year's bowl game, but I mean, they still had a good season, so I'm fine with them being here.
They didn't get blown out by Auburn. They got blown out by LSU. Shout out to Coach O.
Mistake there.
Okay, so inside the top 10, LSU and Florida. Do you think either of those teams belong in there? LSU at 6, Florida at 8. This seems like a major overreaction in my estimation to one great year from really both Coach O and Dan Mullen. Because as much as I love Coach O, is that LSU team, are they going to repeat what they did last season? Is Joe Burrow going to take a step forward and make them a contender in the SEC West?
LSU, I never know how to feel about them preseason, honestly. It feels like the years that they're supposed to be really good, they fall flat on their face. And the years they're like, oh, well, they're taking a step back, all of a sudden there's five or six skill position players that just go off and they're finding themselves in the race. I'm fine with them being there because at this point, I just expect LSU to be in the top 10 regardless of what they are, just because, you know, that staying power in the SEC that they have. Florida, I don't think should be in the top 10. I don't. I see Florida as very much the SEC's version of Michigan. We hear every year about how they're back. They're this is the year they're going. They're back on their heyday, and it just doesn't seem to materialize with them. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be ranked by no means, but I don't think they're a top 10 team until they prove themselves otherwise. I would keep them out of the top 10 probably. I'd have them sit around, you know, mid teens in my opinion.
Are you surprised that Kentucky is not ranked? Because of all the buzz they were getting, I'm kind of surprised now that I look at the top 25 and I don't see Kentucky ranked. Do you think Kentucky should be ranked?
If we're going strictly off of last year's performance, yes.
Didn't they win 10 games?
They did. They had a really good season. If we're going strictly off last year's performance, I think, yes, they should be maybe 24, 25. But I think the reason why you didn't see a lot of their votes is they lost a lot of talent this offseason. So I think the voters are kind of in wait and see mode with them if they can keep consistency. And also Kentucky's another one of those schools where this is probably their first really hot year. Last year was at least in forever.
They don't have the staying power.
They don't have the staying power. So I think the voters are kind of in wait and see mode with them. So could they make an appearance? Would I be shocked if they made an appearance? In the next few weeks of the college football season, not really, but I don't envision them becoming, you know, above a top 20 team this season.
Sure. Out of the Pac-12, Oregon is the highest ranked team, and then Washington is coming in at 13, two spots below them. Do you think Oregon wins the Pac-12 this year? Is it particularly close?
Pac-12, I'm not sure. Like I said when we were talking about Shaw and Stanford earlier, I think the Pac-12 is wide open again. I am upset that they are not putting more respect on Washington State's name.
I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming.
That's upsetting.
I love Mike Leach. Okay, I think Mike Leach is one of the best personalities in all of college football. Mike Leach is wildly entertaining. That being said, Washington State football is kind of a gimmick program, if we're being real. They can't contend with Oregon or Washington, or even Stanford when Stanford's at their highest. I know Washington State won 11 games last year. What happened when they played Washington in the Apple Cup to win the Pac-12? They got blown out. I mean, I love Mike Leach. Mike Leach is hilarious. Gardner Minshew's mustache last year was awesome. I saw him in that preseason game last night. I'm rooting for Gardner Minshew to be successful. Washington State is not a contender in the Pac-12. I'm sorry. There's just no other way around it, Connor.
I think it's open enough. I think Washington State. I think preseason at least put Washington State in the teens and see what they do. Because again, last year was a good year for them. I think the Pac-12 is open enough to where they could make noise again. But we'll see. The two teams I want to swap spots in the top 25 is Michigan and Texas, and we went over that yesterday.
I'm telling you, Texas is winning the Big 12 this year. This is Texas's year. Texas will be back. I'm already behind them. There is no room for you on the train once the season starts. You're either with me or against me, and you appear to be against me. But I'm okay with that. I've been doubted my whole life, and so has Texas. Nobody ever has any expectations for Texas. So
No, never. They're ready to surprise everyone this year.
They're
this humble, small school. You know, they're just
waiting in the grass, baby. Oh, classic. All right, you know what? Let's shift gears here, Connor. I know we got about 10 minutes left in the hour. I know you have these college football hot takes that you want to get off your chest. I already put mine out there yesterday. I believe it's a pretty hot take to say that Texas is beating Oklahoma and winning the Big 12 this year. So, Connor, where are you at with this? I'm gonna react to your hot takes because this is organic, people. I have not heard any of Connor's hot takes, so I will be reacting while you react, and I will give my initial thoughts. Right. Connor, the floor is yours.
First hot take pertaining to Oklahoma and Texas. I think Oklahoma is going to win the Big 12 again, and I think, here we go.
That's not a hot take.
No. That's not the hot take. I think that Mr. Lincoln Riley, the quarterback whisperer, is going to make another Heisman finalist this year.
All right, Jalen Hurts. See, That is a pretty hot take. The problem is you're not the first person I've heard give that take. That's the thing is, like, that would be incredible if Lincoln Riley is able to get Jalen Hurts to New York for the Heisman ceremony. That would be incredible. Are you saying he's going to win the Heisman? Jalen Hurts is going to win the Heisman, or he'll be in New York?
I think he will be, I think he'll be top two, top three.
So in other words, he's right up there with the guy who took his job and was way better than him at Alabama.
I think so.
All right. Well,
I think Lincoln Riley is going to turn Hurts around and is going to put him right up there with Tua when it comes to Heisman time.
He's incredible. He is absolutely an incredible quarterback whisperer. If he's everything we were told Jim Harbaugh would be at Michigan.
Look, if Lincoln Riley can do it with Jalen Hurts, I mean,
I'll never doubt him again.
I will never doubt him. He could put in a guy with a broken arm.
He could put you in a quarterback.
He could put me in a quarterback
and they'd win 11 games.
That I would lead them to the playoffs. So I think that he's going to turn around Hurts. So that's hot take number 1. So what you got for that?
Again, my problem is I've heard other people give this take, but I'll say that's a 7 out of 10 on the hot take scale. That's 7 Scoville units out of 10.
Scoville units for hot takes.
Yeah, that's how they measure spice, right?
I think we should make that permanent. We should for hot takes.
fair enough. No, you know what? It is a pretty hot take just because, you know me, I don't believe in Jalen Hurts. So if he's able to get Jalen Hurts to the Heisman ceremony, that'd be a hell of a job from Lincoln Riley. So that's a 7 out of 10 for me. All right, hot take number 2. Let's hear it.
Bama doesn't win the SEC. I think it's Georgia's year.
So do they beat Alabama in the SEC championship game?
They beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, and they get the number 2 spot in the playoff.
Do both teams go?
I haven't thought about my playoff that much, but for the sake of my hot take, I'm going to say both teams go.
Okay. Again, I don't think this is that hot of a take. For one, Georgia's ranked 3rd in the AP poll to start the season. The other thing is Kirby Smart's had a double-digit lead on Alabama the 2 times he's faced them since he's taken over at Georgia. So for him to not completely fall apart in the 4th quarter the 3rd time around he plays them isn't that hot of a take.
Look,
he's going to not blow it eventually if he keeps getting out to double-digit leads against the Crimson Tide.
Didn't we keep saying that with Jim Harbaugh and Urban Meyer? He can't blow it. He can't blow it again.
Well, okay, but Jim Harbaugh has... I mean, in the 3 times he's played him, Jim Harbaugh has only been leading in the second half. Or the 4 times he's played him, I think Jim Harbaugh's only been leading in the second half once. Like, they blew that game in 2016, but they haven't really blown any of the other games. The other games, they, for the most part, got outplayed.
I think the other basis of it, too, is the fact that Saban's record against his former assistants is just obscene.
Yeah, but I mean, that's one of those things. His record against everyone is obscene.
Look at his comparison to like guys who used to work for Nick Saban. I think like 2 of them have beaten him.
Okay, but how many coaches have beaten Nick Saban in the last 5 to 10 years? It's just one of those things where I agree with you. It's similar to Belichick, right? The old cliche is that Belichick always takes his assistants to the woodshed when he plays them. He didn't do that to Patricia last year. That was a great win for the Lions.
Vrabel.
Did the Titans beat the Pats too? Man, the Pats were stumbling in the regular season.
Yeah.
What a failure of a season that was for him, right? But it makes no sense to me, man, how New England is just able to kind of turn the page once the playoffs start, no matter
what drama
they're going through in the regular season, and then they're able to win another Super Bowl. That's crazy to me. But, you know, it's just one of those things where a lot of teams don't beat Alabama. So for me to sit here and say, oh, Kirby Smart doesn't have a shot against Nick Saban because he's a former assistant of Nick Saban. I think Kirby Smart's one of the brightest young minds in college football. And I mean, he's recruiting at an unreal level where, you know, he has the geographical advantage of coaching in Georgia, where he has access to all of those Southern players, right? And would you say that Alabama's roster is a lot better than Georgia's? I think it's pretty close.
This year, I think it's close.
Yeah, it's very close. NFL talent-wise, the last several years, I think, you know, really since Kirby Smart's gotten there, I think it's pretty close, man. So I don't think that's too hot of a take. I'll say that's a 5 out of 10. Only because on surface, you hear Alabama isn't winning the SEC and you're stunned. But then you also remember 2 years ago, Alabama won the national championship and they didn't win the SEC that year. Because, again, I don't believe in Jalen Hurts and they lost to Auburn and they didn't even get to go to the SEC championship game. So I'll say that's a 5 out of 10 because
fair enough.
There's more sizzle than steak there, if you will, because you say Alabama isn't going to win the SEC and you're like, damn, What a hot take. But then, no, Georgia could absolutely, this could be Georgia's year to win the SEC. And, I mean, they're going to go pretty unrivaled in the SEC East, right?
Fair enough. Fair enough. You know, I got a couple for the college football playoff, but I think we can. I think we should save those for Monday's show. To be honest,
save
with you.
Those for Monday's show.
You know, get a little bit of Spartan preview on Monday and okay. some college football.
So is this third one pertaining to MSU then? Tease the listeners here.
I think I'm still formulating it, but yes, it does pertain to MSU.
Oh, so this isn't a tease in the sense that you want to hold off until Monday.
Oh, no,
you're
no,
just
no.
not done
oh,
with
no,
the hot
no,
take.
No,
you
no,
haven't
no, no.
you haven't completely
I have
crafted
hot,
it yet.
I have my hot take, but I need to get my backing so I don't get torn apart.
Alrighty, Miami and Florida this week. Who do you have Saturday night?
I think Miami is gonna stun them. You know, Florida's got the better defense. Miami does have a fresh new quarterback. I think
yeah, Tate Martell, right?
No, awkward. Yeah. Hear that? Last I heard, he's trying things out at receiver. But anyway,
Tate Martell's trying things out at receiver.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So
well,
yeah,
good
just
for him. He wants to get on the field. I guess.
Good for him. But I think Miami's going to have kind of a bounce back year this year, and I think it starts with a win against Florida.
Is Felipe Franks still at Michigan or still at Florida? Excuse me for his 58th season.
Yep, yes he is.
I've never believed in him either. So you know, I remember seeing Florida last year. I think it was the game against Georgia where they had a pretty good record going into that game. I think they were probably ranked in the top 10 along with Georgia, and people were talking about the growth of Felipe Franks and how he's such a better quarterback than what I saw. You know, the year before. And I think he threw a pick six, like the second drive of that game. And I'll just never believe in Felipe Franks either.
The old announcer's curse.
So I guess me saying I don't believe in Felipe Franks, I might have to agree with you and pick Miami to win this game. Do they still have the turnover chain?
They had the turnover chain.
They did last year. It just kind of lost its luster.
Now, there is a rumor that they are bringing out an offensive chain. No word on how they're going to use that, but just something to keep an eye out for in the game.
How?
I don't know how.
Let's think about how that would work. Because, I mean, it can't just be for scoring a touchdown, can it? It's
got to
be for more of a big play than that. Because, I mean, if you go short yardage and you put in, like, the power back, why should the power back be the one to wear the touchdown chain?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's just a rumor I've heard listening to, you know, Miami sports radio. So there's a rumor that there is an offensive chain coming out. No word on how it's going to be used yet or what it looks like. So
okay, so.
Are you hopping on the U?
I like Florida's offense, though, man. Van Jefferson's an exciting player. Trayvon Grimes, he's back for a full season this year with Florida. Do they still have LaMichael Perine, the physical back? Is he still at Florida?
I don't think so.
I think he still is, dude. Oh, man, dead air here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, LaMichael Perine, he is a senior this year. He's still at Florida. 5'11", 218 pounds. I love the way he runs, such a physical back. No, I'm not falling into this trap. I'm not believing in Mark Richt. I grew up a Georgia fan.
Mark Richt isn't there anymore. New coach.
Wait, he's not?
Manny Diaz.
Oh, you're right. Wait,
Manny
what happened
Diaz.
To Richt? He got fired?
No, he retired. He retired.
Oh, crazy. All right, nope. I'm picking Florida. Nope, take it to the bank. Florida's winning this football
All
game.
Right.
Not because of Felipe Franks, but because of Van Jefferson, LaMichael Perine, and the rest of the players on that roster. Everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. We're out of time. Have a great weekend. Be easy, people.